Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Michael P. McCarthy.
Good evening. It's my month.
Your month?
March.
You're the whole month of March?
The whole month of March is the celebration of the Irish.
Oh, and I get you on the show.
Yeah.
How about next week?
Next week it's somebody else, but then it's two more weeks of me.
You're gonna be out
the month
drinking
of the leprechaun.
Green beer next week.
I don't know what I'm doing next week, but
you don't really ever celebrate St. Paddy's Day. At least I've never known you.
Well,
to.
No, that's not true.
Well, there you go.
We used to. So both my girls do Irish dancing, or did.
Okay.
We haven't come back since COVID yet, but and then they danced in the Maryland Irish Festival.
Oh, cool. I remember that. I saw a little skit on that. That was great. Anyway, Michael, we're on an open show tonight. So that means our listeners are guests. They get to determine the course of the conversation tonight. And if they want to call in and say, this is a topic that's important to me, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and to direct the conversation tonight. We're on a total open show tonight. Last week we talked a lot about Social Security, and we had other questions on taxes and things like that. But this week, you know, maybe somebody else has got a totally different topic, or maybe they want to repeat the same ones again. So whatever it is, you know, you can feel free to call in 410-922-6680. I figure there's somebody will call in this evening and give me a hard time about what I said with Sean Casey this morning. That, you know, I think that Biden was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Everybody really, you know, they're all saying it's all Biden's fault. It's all Biden's fault, you know. But George W. Bush was in the wrong place at the wrong time on September 11th. You know, Jimmy Carter was in the wrong place at the wrong time in 1976 when he went into office. Politicians are usually, you know, a matter, you know, a lot of them, you know, they create their own problems because they're so uncharismatic and they have so little to offer in their ideas and so forth. But for the most part, politicians are nothing but noise.
What did we learn on our one major endeavor into politics is I don't know anything. Just talk to the staffers. They're the ones who do things.
That's what they told us.
That's what they told us.
That's what they told us. So anyway, we're here on an open show. We're going to go to Mike in Sykesville. Mike, how can we help you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good evening. Yes. Yeah. The topic is charitable giving.
Sure.
And I wanted to know two things. One is the documentation that's needed by the IRS, if it is needed, for each of the following donation forms of donation. One would be the QCD, the other would be a DAF, and the other would be free gifting for your children. And just as a side of that.
What do you mean by that last one, free gifting?
Besides the documentation is, can you do several of those at one in a given year, a tax year?
Wait, are we talking about giving to children, or are you what?
Well, in one case, yes. Okay. And the others to charities.
Right. So let's start. You can give as many QCDs as you want to, up to $100,000 per person. So if you're married, you can do $200,000. And so just for our listeners' purposes who don't know what a QCD is, that's a qualified charitable distribution from an IRA if you're 70 and a half years of age or older. And it has to be from an IRA. It cannot come from a 401k or a 403b or any other kind of retirement account. It has to be a IRA in order to do that. You can do as many as you want, up to $100,000 per year per person.
And
you need a qualified charitable receipt from the charity if you do a QCD. So if I give my church $1,000 It's not taxable. It's not deductible on my return, but it's not taxable either. So that, in essence, is like a tax deduction. But I still need a receipt in hand that if the IRS says to me, did you get a receipt from your church? And I say no, they can deny the deduction. Now, this is an interesting point to understand about the IRS. The IRS's rules are not that you can prove that you gave to charity. The IRS's rules are that you have a qualified charitable receipt in hand at the time you file your tax return. That's an important point to understand. Now, okay. The last one you asked about was the DAF, and let's for our listeners, it's the DAF,
Donor Advised Fund.
Oh, man, my mind went crazy. What's the DAF stand for? Donor Advised Fund. And you do that with a brokerage firm. We do it with Fidelity and Schwab, predominantly Schwab. And when you give your money to the DAF, the Donor Advised Fund, it's immediately deductible, and they're very good at giving you a receipt immediately when you give to them. You can do as much to the DAF as you want. You could do $1 billion a year if you want, you know. There's no limit on how much you can give a DAF, but there's no requirement to take money out of the Donor Advised Fund and be given it to charity right away. You could wait a year. You could wait 10 years if you want to. You do have to show that there is intention of giving the money to charity in time. You can't just sit on it forever. So those are your three rules that you're, you know, and the gifts to children. And I mean, that's a totally different story. You can give as much to your children. It's just if you give them over $15,000 in 1 year, you have to file a gift tax return. Not that there's money owed, but you have to file a unique return called a 709, a gift tax return.
You know, a fun fact for our listeners is that with donor advised funds, you can donate anything as long as the fund will take it. And Fidelity once took a semi-truckload of corn.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's an interesting concept. Mike, I have to run.
Just one quickie. Can you do both the DAF and the MAX?
You can do 100,000 in a QCD and do $100 million in a DAF in the same year if you want.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right, buddy. Take care. Good question. Anyway, we got to go to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Rich, and Wealth. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. I'm here with Michael P. McCarthy. We're on an open show. And just to make my producer, Chris Klaproth, happy, I'm putting my glasses on so I can see.
I think it's better when we pick random names for our guests to protect their anonymity.
Now, I see his name is actually Bob in Aberdeen. So we're going to Bob in Aberdeen. Bob, how can we help you?
Yes, I have a question about IRA certificates. I normally purchase one for myself and one for my wife every year for tax purposes. She did not work at all last year. Can I still do that?
Did you work?
I did, yes.
You did. Yeah, you can do it for both of you as long as one of you had earned income.
Earned income over the total amount of the IRAs.
Yeah, you can do up to the amount of earned income or $7,000 per person if your earned income exceeds $14,000.
Oh, okay.
So how much did you make?
Well, me, I probably made about $80,000, $90,000.
Ah, so you can do. Now, does your company have an IRA? I mean, a 401k?
No, not really.
Okay, so you don't have a company pension plan.
Well, I get a pension, but it's a union.
Okay, so you still work for the union?
Yes.
Okay, so and your total family income is under $100,000?
Yeah, right around there.
Yeah, so you can both do an IRA, but you should be doing Roth IRAs, you know?
Yeah, I don't think I can do the traditional because I make too much money or something.
Well, you could probably, your wife can definitely do the traditional because she's not working anymore.
She's just getting Social Security, that's all.
Yeah, so she can do either, and you can do only the Roth, let's say.
More than likely.
But you should probably stick with Roth, period, okay?
Right.
All right?
Okay, well, thank you, sir.
Good question. Great. Thank you. And Richard in Pasadena. Richard, how can I help you?
Hi. I had a question on auto insurance policy. You had mentioned previously that most people seem to be underinsured, so I pulled a copy of my policy. I was just looking at it. Could you give me what you recommend to carry?
$500,000, $1,100,000 on the bodily injury. So it's $500 per person, $1 million per accident, and $100 for property damage. And the same for uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage. Are you over that, above that, under it?
I'm under it. Yeah. I'm $300 each person, $300 each occurrence, and $100 on bodily injury.
Now, that policy sounds familiar. I think, who company does that? There's only one company that does that, $300. Is that Geico?
No, it's Allstate.
Allstate, yeah, that's, you know. So, you know, since you have $300, you have $300, $300, $100?
Correct.
Yeah, so I'd probably go to, you know, and sometimes these big companies like Allstate and State Farm will say, well, we won't do $500, $1 million. We won't do it, you know. $300 is the highest we give. So then you have to go to an umbrella insurance policy. But, right. You know, look, if you're in Pasadena, Richard, you should find the nearest Erie insurance agent and quote that policy with Erie and call me back and tell me, if you and your wife are good drivers, call me back and tell me if it wasn't surprising as to the difference in cost between Erie and Allstate.
What about the basic personal injury protection?
You know, the PIP, personal injury protection, $2,500. You know, you can take $10,000 if you want, but it's almost an irrelevant coverage, in my opinion. It's got its purpose, but $2,500 is more than fine.
And then the uninsured motorists, they have it $300, $300, $100.
Yeah, well, that's what we really want to get up. And, you know, if you the reason I like Erie so much is you can do an umbrella policy for $1 million of uninsured motorists, you know. And you know how many people drive in Maryland uninsured? It's 14% of uninsured drivers in Maryland. You know how many drive with only the minimum coverage? It's about 50% of drivers drive with the minimum state. That's 30-60. So there's like a 60% chance you're going to get zero or $30,000 from somebody if you have an accident. All right, but try Erie. All right.
So on the uninsured motorist for bodily injury, they have it $300. I should be asking that to be at $500 then.
$500, $1,100,000 is what I like. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, but call Erie. Okay. And we don't have a horse in the race for Erie, do we?
No, we just like seeing people save money, and it's not always not 100%.
It's not. No, we're going to Lay in Towson. How can we help you?
Yes, I started the Airbnb part of my house. I have income for my tax return. What can I claim the furnishing I did?
You know, you can claim lots of things, you know? I mean, you can claim furnishing in the house. You can claim a portion of the house that you're renting out. You can claim a portion of the utilities, a portion of sewer and water, a portion of your property taxes, a portion of your mortgage interest. A portion of everything, based on the percentage of that room to the whole house.
I see.
I mean, you know, you really need a good accountant when you do Airbnb and so forth. So make sure you have somebody that will help you with that because there's a lot of really good deductions you can take to make sure you don't pay much on the income that you're making out of that.
I see. All right. Thank you very much. Where is your office?
Our office is in Hunt Valley.
oh, my God, you're my neighbor. I live in his house.
There you go.
There you are. All right, my friend. Good talking to you.
I can't get the address you have office.
11019 McCormick Road. Suite
okay,
200.
Well, okay, I got you. Thank
and
you.
Hopefully right. by next week, the sign's on the building.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Bye-bye.
All right, we got to go. We're going over to Joe. Now, Joe in Phoenix, how are you?
Hi, Drew. I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
Let me just tell you one quick thing. If we get to 629, I'm going to have to break in and stop, okay? You just hold on, and we'll come back to you, okay? So go ahead.
This will be fast.
All right.
The Spider Shares GLD, that's that gold.
Right, gold, right.
I thought it was 1 ounce was equal to one share, and obviously it isn't. What's the breakdown? Do you know offhand? Is it 10?
I don't know it exactly. What's the price of it today?
You know what? I haven't seen it today, but it was, I want to say it was like 126 or something like that. It was,
yeah.
And...
You know, and it doesn't have to have any correlation to the price of gold, you know?
Okay.
I mean, there's no necessity for it to have a correlation to the price of gold, but the dollars are supposedly backed 100% by gold bullion that's moved in and out of a vault as the money in the fund goes up and down. Now, it's not moved in and out every minute, every day. But over every so many months or whatever, they buy contracts to cover whatever they need to cover. And then they go in and they actually move the gold out if it's less money in the fund, or they move the money in if there's more money in the fund.
I gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
185 today.
185 today. So it's somewhere in the 10 to 1 range, but it's not exact. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
That is great. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Good question. Very good question. You know, when they start that, they don't have to start it in a correlation to the actual price of gold. But anyway, we got to go. And we're going to be right back. Open show, 410-922-6680. Money, riches, and wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show tonight. We had a rash of callers in the beginning, and now we're in the second half of the show, and we've got no callers. So
that means that if you're listening and you have a question, yours is next.
Now's the time to call, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 is the way to call in. You know, the first caller called in, the mic with charity. A very interesting thing, we talked about this, and that is you have to have a legitimate receipt from a charity
right.
when you file your tax return. So let's say I give $100,000 to my church, and the church got it, and they were really happy to get it, and they took it, and they used it for all charitable purposes and everything. And then a year later, the IRS says, hey, Drew, I want to see your charitable receipts. And you said you gave that church $100,000, and you say, yeah. And they say, well, let's see that receipt. And you look and you say, oh, my, you know what? They never gave me that. You can't go to the church and necessarily say, you know, hey, can you give me that receipt because the IRS is asking for it.
The
IRS,
correct response would be, let me go look for that and
let me go look for that for a few days, and hopefully I can find it. I got to go through 52,000 drawers to figure out which one I put it in. And then 2 days later, come up with it, you know?
You know, that's a great point, though. When we do QCDs for people, one of the things we do all the time is we say, no, we're going to send the check to you. You give it to the church or the entity because I want you to, you know, give them the check and get the receipt.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, so it's very important that you and that's one of the beauties of doing a DAF, right?
Yep.
Because when you do a DAF, a donor advised fund, you get one receipt. You don't have to worry about the rest of the charities that you give the money to from inside the DAF. Those are not you got your one receipt. You got it when you gave the money into the DAF. And so you can actually give money to charity anonymously if you want to.
Yeah, a lot of people like it for that purpose.
Yeah. So we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, direct the conversation, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and direct the conversation. You know, Another interesting topic, Mike, is, you know, everybody's a pundit. And they all have, oh, you know, this is the, this Ukraine thing, this is going to do this, and oil's going to $300 a barrel. And everybody's making these wild predictions out there.
Right.
And telling you what's going to happen, you know, and the market's going to crash, and, you know, and this is going to happen. And we, you know, and we've, you know, done this thorough analysis, et cetera, et cetera. You know, nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows where the top is. Nobody knows where the bottom is. And what's interesting is, you know, nobody really understands why the markets popped the way they did. You know, Europe was up 8% today. 8%. U.S. was up 3.5%, 2 to 3.5%.
But we do have a belief that there is underlying information that supports why it does these things.
I mean, but we might not know it for about three months from now. We're going to know why, you know?
So one of my main things I've been sharing with clients when they call in with concern about various things is I keep saying, well, I'm looking at the oil futures. And, you know, nobody has a crystal ball, but the oil futures for weeks now have been inverting, going into a backwardation in beginning in May, and then continuing all the way through the rest of the futures, oil futures that are available out there, all the way through December. It goes down every month, and normally futures should go up. It should be an upward slope, but it's a downward slope because somewhere out there in the market, there's something that's telling that market that prices for oil will be lower in the future, and they've been telling them for weeks, not just today, when actually at least one day of it started to happen.
Yeah, well, you know, and, you know, after World War II, the rate of inflation was as high as 20% during certain years and certain periods of time after World War II because of all the rationing that had taken place and all the people that came back and wanted to use the money they had accumulated during World War II and so forth. And they spent it, and boom, all of a sudden prices went up dramatically. But, you know, interest rates didn't move during that period of time. They were 2 to 3% during that whole period of time, despite the inflation that took place. I think we have something similar going on at this point in time.
Yeah.
Jill in Mount Washington, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. I am looking at the other end of the age spectrum and wonder what you would recommend to 30-year-olds, just people starting out with kids and mortgage and all that, where they should be putting their money. Is it the same old diversify, small, medium, large bonds, or is there anything different today? Because I know my kids are very nervous about and unclear about what to do with their minimal money.
Well, you know, me personally, I believe, you know, I don't understand the crypto market. I don't understand why somebody feels that something that is virtually nothing is something. Mm-hmm. And they have their reasons for believing that. I just like something that, you know, in other words, if I buy gold, I know I've got something fungible that I can do something with. I can make jewelry out of it. I can, you know, do all kinds of things with it, et cetera. If I buy a stock, I know I own, you know, 0.001% of Amazon or whatever. And history has proven that that ownership in that company is real. And if they pay dividends, they're going to pay me my pro rata share of dividends. And if they sell the company, I'm going to get my share of the sale of the company. But I don't understand Bitcoin, which is nothing, and people believe it's something, and they're willing to pay $40,000 for it, and they have their reasons for it.
Let me take a crack at answering this a slightly different way. I mean, one of the things that we always want to make sure we tell our 30-year-olds and our young families is the order of operations for their money. The first step is an emergency fund. Try to get 3 to 6 months of your expenses and savings. The next thing is if they're working and they have a retirement plan that has a match, at the very least, get the match. And then you start looking at the Roth IRA, and that's when you start worrying about what to invest in. And if the money is for retirement, and it's not for a first house, and it's not for, oh my gosh, the engine in my car went bad, you know, the young people have a long outlook. And all we can say is over time, the markets have prevailed.
And let me give you another thing on that with young investors, too. And this is where, you know, they're looking at the 2008 and what happened, and they're looking at all the craziness going on and so forth. But there's been craziness going on in our country for the 200 years that we got to this place where the Dow Jones Industrial Average is worth 34,000. But just think about, Jill, think about what's ready to happen innovatively in this world. It's mind-boggling. Autonomous cars. Let's just start there. Electric autonomous cars that drive themselves is going to be a thing that's going to happen in the next 10 to 15 years. Virtual reality and the metaverse is something that's going to happen. It's going to be mind-boggling. Artificial intelligence, you know? The blockchain, even though I don't believe in cryptocurrency per se, blockchain is an unbelievable technology. Biotechnology and what they're ready to do in biotechnology and what's about to come forth. I mean, you know, what you've seen in technology and innovation that's taken place over the last 100 years is going to be multiplied many fold over the next 10 and 20 years. And so it's corporations of America and the rest of the world that are going to lead that charge and going to make the money that innovation is going to bring forth. And that's why I think the market is selling as high as it's selling, is because smart investors are seeing this and saying, I want to be a part of that. Anyway, that's my theory.
Okay, but it is hard when you look at how high it is to convince them to put money in it. Would you suggest just index funds?
Just do index funds. I wouldn't just do the S&P. I would, you know, they could look at Kathy Woods' ARK funds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because she was trading at $200 a share and she's down to like $60 a share today. So you could, you know, you say, well, you know, it's on a discount. It's $140 cheaper.
But the one thing I'll acknowledge is, depending on how old they are, this may be the first economic ups and downs that they experience. And it's scary the first time you feel it. But then after you feel it the second time, you go, you know what, I've been here before.
Right. No, I have. But you'd still go with international and bonds, just like...
Well, I don't want... You know, young people shouldn't own any bonds. They should be 100% invested in stocks. And they should be diversified between international and U.S. and some extra and some, you know, technology of some sort. All right?
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're going to Joe in Westminster. Joe, how can we help you?
Hi, it's regarding the charitable receipts.
Uh-huh.
My church at the end of the year gives you a summation of all your givings, which is usually weekly.
Right.
A standard amount for the most part, nothing great. And if you would give, say, a higher than usual amount, would you also need a separate receipt for that in addition to the annual summation receipt?
So the answer to that is it depends, okay? If the annual summation gives it exactly by the week-by-week date that the money came out on, it came to them in, then the answer is no. But if they just say you gave $5,600, then the answer is yes, you would need a separate receipt also. And it's only contingent on if you give more than $250 at any one time. That's the key. $250 or more at any one time is the key to needing a specific receipt or needing a specific receipt at the end of the year that identifies each specific day during the year that you gave more than $250. And there's one other very important portion, Joe. It has to say on that receipt, no goods or services were received for this gift. That is one of the biggest things that the IRS will look for if they asked you for your receipts. And, you know, they've asked me twice over the last 20 years to send all my charitable receipts to them because I tend to be charitably inclined and they, you know, want me to prove that I can take all these deductions. And I always have them organized, ready to go.
Okay, just one more question of clarification of what you just said. This would be greater than $250, and the summations do denote the exact date. Would that still suffice?
Yes.
And the summation without a separate receipt?
Yes.
It
yes,
would?
Yes. As long as they give you the date on the summation at the end of the year for each item that was given during the year, then it is perfectly good. If not, you need an individual receipt for each one you gave and the date that it was given.
And should the summation also state no goods or services?
Absolutely. Any receipt, whether it's one or lots, they should always say no goods or services were received. Absolutely.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you very, very much.
All right, Joe. Take care. We're going to go to traffic, and we'll be right back with the end of Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It's one of those really old Beatles songs.
No, not the Beatles.
Yeah, don't you remember that?
Maybe.
It's one of the first ones that
before
Paul
they were
McCartney
popular.
Wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah, before Paul McCartney became popular. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight, Michael. 410-922-6680. We could probably take at least two, three callers maybe if you want to call on and get your question answered. But, you know, one of the topics we were talking about is Why do markets go up and down on a daily basis? And the answer is because there are more buyers than there are sellers, or there are more sellers than there are buyers. So when there's markets going down, there were more sellers than there were buyers. And when it's going up, it's because there were more buyers than there were sellers. But the real thing is that underneath the market are people that understand investing, and they're patient. And they wait it out. They say, I understand the value of what I have, and I'm going to hold this thing for a long period of time. I am not selling it. So you people who are out there trading think you're brilliant geniuses buying and selling at, going to buy at the high and sell at the low all the mm-hmm. time. You go ahead and do that. You're just gambling, basically. And And I'm just going to hold this, and I'm going to buy more if you sell it to me at the right prices, you know?
Yep.
And that's what makes markets go up and down over the long term. Those that are selling because they say, this is not worth it anymore over the long term. I don't want to own this anymore.
Well, that's a good segue to talk about rebalancing.
Rebalancing. Go ahead.
Well, so when you have, you know, times of, tumultuous markets up and down, it's still a little bit of a gamble, but from time to time, if in most normal downward markets where maybe the bond portfolios hold up but the stock portfolios fall, you know, that's a good time to sell some of the bond portfolio and buy in the stock portfolio. And the same thing on the other side of it, if you can. It's never going to be perfect. But
well, normally with rebalancing, what you're going to do is you're going to do a set calendar day. You're not going to try to predict when to do your rebalancing, but you're going to pick a set calendar day. And you're going to say, every January 1, I'm going to rebalance back to 60-40 stocks or whatever the case may be. Or I'm going to rebalance back my U.S. versus my international exposure. But occasionally, you're right.
Yeah.
You're going to say, you know, hey, this market's down a lot. I'm going to rebalance back in because my stock exposure has dropped to 60% and I want it to be at 70% because the markets are down so much.
Right. And even if you have a really, really, you know, quick period of growth, you say, well, hey, my goal was 75-25 and I'm like 90-10.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, that's a good point. But the point that we're trying to make is that, you know, you see a lot of people who buy and sell quite often, and they think like they can make they can predict this is why the market's going down right now. But you really don't know, like you said, or like we said earlier, we might know 3 months from now why the European markets popped 7% today. We might know. There are people out there that are telling you today why it is. But I'm telling you that we're not going to know for 3 months as to why. It could just be a short-term relief rally. We won't know. 3 months, I'll tell you exactly why it popped. You know, because that's the time frame, 3 months, 6 months, it takes to understand what the weighing machine of the market is doing as opposed to the voting machine. The voting machine is what takes place every day, where people are just going in there emotionally buying and selling out of fear or yep. greed. And the weighing machine are the smart investors that are sitting in there saying, I'm going to own this for the long term because it's worth this over the long term. And the sellers are in there saying, the smart sellers are in there saying, this is no longer worth this. I want out. I'm going to get out. And they're starting to sell their. And don't get me wrong. It's not the mutual fund managers and the pension managers that are necessarily the smart investors either.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I lost my train of thought.
Well, I probably
like
did that
Amtrak
to you
in Harford County
as I was rambling. Anyway, we're on an open show. We're almost finished with our time. What else is there going on out
well,
there?
Well, you and I talked a little bit about saying, so we made a recommendation for Erie for somebody, but I thought, hey, you know what would be fair is to tell some of the times when you might not want to look to Erie or not just not to Erie, but, you know, what other companies are out there. When people have farmland or really interesting properties, timber built and, you know, something unique about them, you know, sometimes some of the higher end insurers are a better fit.
Like Chubb and AIG or Farmers or something
Encompass.
Of that sort. Encompass, you know, those are going to be good companies to consider. Erie's not going to be good in the city,
yep.
you know. They're just not competitive in the city. Erie is going to be poor if you have children. You're not going to, you know, if children are driving between the ages of 18 and 25, you're probably not going to be able to easily get into, you know, Erie. It doesn't mean you shouldn't quote, but,
yep.
you know.
You might have had a family member in the military that was an officer in U.S.
USAA.
USAA
is almost always going to be a better company than Erie.
You know, and one of the ones for me is that I like everything that moves. So I have a UTV, I have a boat, and because of these different vehicles I own and different insurances I need, you have to look at, hey, I got to look at more carriers and find out what's the total one that works together for my package of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you do. You have to look at the whole thing, and there are different reasons to own different companies, but for the most part, in a lot of the counties of Maryland, you know, Erie tends to be an excellent company to consider. There are other good companies out there. Donegal, out of, yep. and not very well known. Donegal is a great company. You know, and Compass can be very competitive in certain situations, especially if you're, you know, like you
have
said.
Have a boat and a UTV.
You have a boat and a UTV.
Or you have a lot of firearms. That's another one where some of the coverages that certain carriers offer are higher at the minimum.
Or if you have a nanny that comes to your house mm-hmm. and you're paying an individual to take care of your children during the day, Encompass is a great company in that situation because it covers the workers' comp piece of that
yep,
that Erie
included.
And many other companies exclude the minute you pay somebody more than $4,000 a year, you know, for household employee purposes. So, you know, there's lots of good reasons to own other companies. But for the most part, the average person, Erie is a great company to consider.
Yep, I agree.
So I appreciate you bringing that up, Michael. We're almost out of time. Next week is another open show. You know, this is the first time we've had the rash of callers at the beginning of the show and then just a few callers in the second part
Maybe
of the show.
Maybe people didn't like our answer.
Yeah, well, that was probably it, you know. So anyway, we'll be back next week, Michael. Always a pleasure being with you, but you won't be here next week.
Somebody else is here. I don't remember who. Probably Chris.
Maybe Maddie. She comes once a month.
Once every 2 months.
Once every 2 months. Okay. I'll remember that. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. I know things are going to be just fine if you only feel what I'd like to do to you. Shower. Gonna be much better.